Jill Schlesinger, CBS business analyst and host of the podcast Jill on Money, has long been our weekly financial guide as well, and you can probably hear her saying, relax, don't make big changes. Except, it turns out, when you do. Jill herself once made a huge dramatic change from a corporate financial planner in Rhode Island to a broadcast diva in New York. And during the pandemic, as we know, a lot of people changed careers, addresses, started a new business, quit an old one, quit, period. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, almost 48 million people quit in 2021. It's what's been called the Great Resignation. Well, Jill's new book applauds all of that, but still cautions that every change, whether storming out the door in a huff or pursuing a lifelong dream of living in a yurt, involves money. That's why her book is called The Great Money Reset. And Jill joins us now. Start with what you recommend as step one, something someone told you to do. Get a little pink book.
So this is one of my best friends in the whole world, Maureen, and she was an Uber planner. And she said, you need a pink notebook. You need a binder. And each section would be divided into different aspects of what this move or this change would mean. And it was a really fabulous way to kind of keep me on track with such a big project, which kind of was like a life makeover or reset.
Well, and some of the questions are, you know, okay, so let's say you're leaving a white-collar job. What are you going to do about healthcare, insurance benefits? Have you calculated everything you really need? Do you remember, let's say, your child's future education needs? This is the kind of thing you want people to think about.
Absolutely. And so when you want to think about a reset, the real critical part is understanding where you are today. Like, what money have you accumulated? What debt do you have? So the pandemic was an accelerant to a lot of the underlying unease that many people felt, and also was a real wake-up call that life is short and maybe I could be doing things a little bit differently, but I can't do it irresponsibly.
Right. So keep taking notes. I'm going to keep giving some of the questions you ask. Is a spouse ailing, maybe in need of care? Is a sibling of yours perennially in financial trouble and you know you want to help? Maybe your aging parents are a bit more fragile physically than you think. What's that going to mean down the road? If you're a young person, what are you making? You know, is the problem at your job that you just really don't like your boss? Maybe rather than quitting, there's another job in that same building for you. Big questions that you want people to ask. But let's just funnel down to something you keep saying and you've always said. Make sure you have cash on hand. And you keep saying, sock it away. Where?
There is a certain amount of safety and peace of mind that a liquid asset, meaning something you can grab onto quickly, that it would not incur a tax liability if you pulled it out, that didn't mean that you had to sell your big family home, that liquid asset is incredibly important. 3 years ago, when we were in the middle of the pandemic, literally, it was like knocking my head against the wall, saying to people, well, you don't have any cash on hand. And people would say, well, why would I do that? Cash is paying nothing. This second in time is a time where people can get paid more on the cash that they have, meaning you can have a high-yielding savings account or money market account or a short-term CD.
Okay, so asking for a friend. Instead of just keeping cash in a checking account, you're saying buy something other than a stock, like a CD, which pays a higher interest right now. But again, can you get that cash out in an emergency without paying a penalty?
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, when you have a certificate of deposit, you can really kind of stagger it. It's called a ladder. And you can say, in 3 months, I'll want this much money available. In 6 months, I'll want this much money available. But you can have a longer-term CD that you can just break. You'll give up some of the interest that you were due, but you can get it. And if that seems too onerous for you, there are higher-yielding money market accounts. There are higher-yielding savings accounts. Usually, it's online institutions, not your brick-and-mortar banks that are paying that. But not every single one of your dollars has to be maximized in terms of your return. And I just want to say that one more time. Not every single one of your dollars that you have invested or saved has to be maximized. There are certain uses for having boring old investments that may not be yielding that much, but that can get you through a difficult time or get you through a great time where you are resetting.
Okay, so there's that. You have an acronym here, Bully Your Boss. And I got to tell you, Jill, you're reaching here, but the B is Button Up Your Ask. Know what other people are making and what you are worth. You understand the full picture, know how the company is doing. L, lose the ego. Another L, leave time to practice the conversation and don't yuck it up. That's the why.
Well, because I promised my girlfriend I wasn't going to, swear in the book. That's why.
Bulf your boss.
Exactly.
Just doesn't work. But what you don't mean bully, really. What do you mean? You mean what?
I want people to feel a little bit more comfortable asking for what you believe you are earning and what you're entitled to, and that you have a way to back up the ask with numbers.
But we're also seeing what's happening at Disney. Mm-hmm. Bob Iger saying you'll have to come back to work. What's happening at Twitter? Elon Musk firing everybody. And we're hearing wokeism, someone said, is being replaced by bossism. It's the ball's back in the boss's court.
You know, I think every situation has some room. You have to read the environment. You know, part of a money reset, you have to be able to assess what you bring to the organization and whether or not you think you can show your boss what that is. You know, you're an actor in this.
Yes. One of the themes running through is when you're thinking of making one of these big changes, do you sell your house if you have a house?
I think that what's kind of interesting about real estate is that it has like this strange hold on us. People keep telling me, well, this is my forever home and I'm going to die here. And I'm like, well, forever's a long time. And what if I told you that you might be able to use this asset, this thing called your house, and make a different choice for you and your family? Shelter is a component of our lives, but it is that, a component. It's not everything.
There's so much here. I want to ask about the investment accounts that people have, regular traditional investment accounts, IRAs, and Roth IRAs. What's the difference?
If you were lucky enough and you have a bunch of retirement accounts, maybe you have an old retirement account that's a traditional account. And when you take the money out later, it is taxed at whatever tax bracket you're at when you take that money out in retirement. Well, a Roth is essentially a deal with Uncle Sam, which says the money that was due to be taxed later on, I'll pay the tax today at today's tax brackets, and then I will not have to pay taxes on it later when I am retired. Why is this so interesting? Because often a great money reset is associated with resetting your income lower. And if your income is lower, for example, if you are a household and you were maybe in, say, the 24% tax bracket, and now all of a sudden you've decided, hey, you know what? We're going to take a real step back. We're going into the 12% tax bracket. If you convert a traditional retirement account today and you pay a tax of 12% today instead of 22 or 24% in the future, that can be really helpful to
yes.
you.
When and you don't have that income in the future.
That's exactly right. And you know, a lot of people are going to have a lot of income in the future because all those retirement assets, you will be forced to take them out. Your required minimum distribution will have to occur by the time you're 75. But if you've got a pile of money that hasn't been taxed and it all has to come out between, say, 75 and 90, you're going to have a big tax liability later. It's nice not to have that.
Okay, we only have a few seconds here. I just want to have mentioned something, especially younger investors are thinking about, cryptocurrency. You used to be one who said, don't even look at this. Do you still feel that way about crypto after everything that's happened?
There is no way that I will ever stop most people from having the urge to do something kind of fun and crazy. People are going to do it. So here's what I think. If you want to invest in a new idea or a private investment or even your own company stock, maybe you want to limit that to 5% of your total investments, not your house, not your total investments, 5%. And on the way up, if things go great, you just keep selling it to get back to 5%. And if the thing goes kaput, you are not putting your entire financial life at risk. So I am more open to that as a possibility. I'm going to stop saying only eat your vegetables and your salads. I'm going to say if you want to have a little chocolate cake, that's fine, but portion control.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger, her podcast is Jill on Money, and her new book is The Great Money Reset. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Jill, thanks as always.
Thank you so much, Robin.